everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And I want you guys to just make an estimate of how many times we've said the words John Carpenter on this podcast, or, you know, John Carpenter-like, or Halloween-esque.
Are we going to say it again tonight? Because I've got a John Carpenter lead in for tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning on talking about John Carpenter a lot tonight.
So this is our 148th episode released, because I think there's like 8 or 9 that we haven't released. So
right.
At least once every, out of the 155 episodes, I'd say we've mentioned him at least once in 145 of them.
Yeah. Drew, would you say, what do you think the over-under is on that?
I think it's under that.
You
but
think
that's,
so?
It's a lot of them. But
it's a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
I think there are several we just don't realize we didn't because there isn't that connection. But when we do notice and mention him, we mention him a lot.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably that there's like a phenomena that's named after. But I imagine, like, I don't know. Like, I even think even the episodes where we don't compare it to John Carpenter, at some point we say, like, why isn't this more like a John Carpenter movie? So I would say I'll fall in the middle. I'll be the Goldilocks. I'll say it's somewhere between many times and not as many times. I'll say you said less than 145, Drew.
Yeah, Brian said 145. I took the under.
What would you say? 100?
Oh, I'm just taking an under. I don't have to say anything.
God
damn
it.
That's the beauty of the under.
I'm going to say 130.
I keep waiting for Tyler to say, oh, because I did some weird web search shows that we said it 1,257 times.
That would be amazing.
He's not slept in 2 weeks because he's just listened to every episode again and kept little tally marks on the wall.
Yeah.
Now like what you just said, I would take the over on that number of just the number of times you've mentioned him. Mm-hmm. We're talking about episodes. I think it's under, but I would go over on number of times mentioned.
Well, listeners, I want to apologize and say that if there is an episode where we have not mentioned John Carpenter, we will remedy that from here on out. It will be the first reference that is made in every episode of the Horrible Podcast moving forward.
I would love to go see him live in concert.
Yeah.
New.
He's doing London on Halloween, right?
Yeah, and he's going to be in Detroit. I have some friends going to Detroit to see him perform his, what's it called? Lost?
Themes.
His new album. Lost Themes 2, yeah.
I imagine his performance is kind of like Max Schreck walking down, like walking into Vampiria or whatever. Yeah, I would like to see him too. I just want to see him in person. I don't care about the music. I just want to say, hey, man, you're my favorite.
Jeans and yellowed fingernails. That's what I imagine.
Yeah, I just want to say, hey, man, you're my favorite.
David Lopan hat.
Totally.
I watched Big Trouble in Little China this weekend, actually, with Jackson.
That's a good thing.
I put together the final the final battle from Return of the Jedi Lego set that I've had sitting on my shelf for 6 months. So, yeah. He's like, why do you like this movie so much? I was like, shut your mouth.
I think it's one of those movies that you have to catch in the time period. Like, I don't know that it works forever.
I think you're wrong.
Noah liked it. Noah watched it last summer.
I was a kid. I didn't really watch it then. My appreciation is all post falling for all the John Carpenter stuff, especially.
I think that's the other part of it is that.
Before Tyler says anything, let's just say he was wrong. And stop.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, obviously. Well, I'm going to argue that that movie is not necessarily universally easy to like. I'm going to say.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Like, I think for those who like John Carpenter will like it, I think. But people, I think, who have no cultural sort of strain that is tied to John Carpenter and just watch that movie because somebody said, oh, man, that movie is awesome, I think will not like it very much. Like, I think...
Like, what the hell's going on?
Right. Like, what is this fucking thing? Like, this is such an 80s action movie. And, like, I appreciated it growing up, and you were into John Carpenter. I think... I also think, like, Lona, I would say that Noah...
You're a woman.
Yeah, so you have no opinion. No, I'll say that you probably have curated his viewing experiences so that such that he would enjoy this kind of thing. And so I wouldn't say that it's just a...
Well, that's the point of having a child, is
right.
making a person the exact way you want them to be.
That's
so
right.
I don't know why you didn't like the movie The Boy much better, because that's exactly what that plot is.
No, that boy is all jacked up. Those parents did a terrible job with that child.
Okay, and what were you saying?
And I did not enjoy it, because as a single mother, I'm doing an excellent job raising,
of course,
my bird flipping child.
So the, let's go ahead.
The Stephen King thing, the parenting is the biggest hum a few bars and I'll, you know, see if I can keep up with you thing in the world. I can't. I'm getting that wrong.
Ooh, man, keep going.
That was a good story.
It's like,
I
want to
hear more,
like,
of this.
Hey, I hum this song, and I'll see if I can hum along.
I want you to keep going until it makes sense. Like, I just want to see how far this
like
goes.
You're like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to kind of hum, because eventually I'll get it right, mm-hmm. and sometimes I'll get it wrong, but it'll kind of sound okay.
Okay, that's getting there. Have you ever seen the video where the guy is the karate champion? He's like, I'm going to crack all these coconuts with my bare hand, and there's like a whole line of them. And all he does is starts, it's on an iron bar, and all he does is starts hitting the iron bar, and finally the guy's like, I gotta stop you. Like, you haven't cracked a single one, and it looks like that hurts a whole lot. You describing that Stephen King thing is kind of what that feels like.
I'm gonna stop you now.
I have to stop you before it gets worse. I don't want you to break anything.
Hey, tonight's episode.
Yeah. The Carpenter-esque.
Late Shift, right?
Last shift.
No, late. What? Late.
Oh,
not,
you watched the
late
the,
phases.
The Letterman and Leno.
Yes. The,
is that not it?
The made-for-TV movie adaptation of it. Yeah.
Sort of a horror film.
Yeah.
I always see the guy who plays Jay Leno and stuff still, and that's what I think of. Like, he was on Lost, and all I could think of was, Oh, that's the guy who played Jay Leno.
That
there's
guy.
John Michael he was Higgins. Wasn't John Michael Higgins David Letterman?
I don't know. I have no idea.
He's also he was also what was Late Phases. The Jay Leno guy was in Late Phases, and I was like,
as
oh god,
who?
Look, it's Jay Leno.
That's all I ever think. It's like, oh, that's the guy who played Jay.
Who was he in Late Phases?
A person. I don't know.
Wasn't he was like the cop or something like the cop?
Fuck, I don't know.
He was in a movie we've done recently.
Yeah, I just don't remember. I always see him, and I agree. He was in something. I don't know what.
You say recently, but that was literally well over a year ago. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's fine.
Time passes so quickly.
Time's a flat circle.
So
it's on my side.
I will say that that Last Shift is I think it compares favorably to Assault on Precinct 13, and it's like I don't think it's a great movie.
Yes,
but I think it's a good movie. Like, I liked it fine. You know what I mean? Like,
I
it's a movie that
you're looking for is Cromulent.
It is. I think. It's a movie that I was surprised that it was. I thought I'd watched all the good horror movies on Netflix and was like scraping the bottom with the rest. But I was actually happily surprised with how kind of frightening this movie was. It had some jump scares that I liked. They weren't scary, but I liked them. And the plot was nice. I think it was good.
Like a back alley abortion, we had scraped the bottom, but still had a little more meat to find.
That was a good one to interrupt you for.
Yeah, thank you for stepping over what I was saying for that joke.
I hope. For a while.
My only hope is that you can come up with some gems like that for the rest of the episode. Keep on grinding.
I call them like I see them.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Hashtag dad jokes. So this film is ostensibly about a police officer starting her new job.
No, hey, listen, you're breaking up. I'm sorry. I was trying to get you the time out. Hang on a second.
I'm fine on my end, and I'm recording. Am I still breaking?
Hang on.
Am I still breaking up?
Can you? It was the whole thing was freezing. I mean, Drew's okay. I thought Drew was frozen.
No, I think I was just sitting. I think I was really just sitting there.
Drew, could you hear me?
I did. I heard some breaking up. Most not static, but I heard some breaking up at one point. But I couldn't tell what.
Okay.
I never know whose side it's on.
We're back to running at full speed. So
I just assume it's on my end
and speed.
It was. God damn it, Brian. I quit. Guys, you do the rest of the episode without me.
Can we quit just for this month so I don't have to? So as I fall further and further into madness trying to create this schedule for the film fest, I can just do it in peace without having to seeing somebody for every week. I have to use the bathroom, so I'm sitting on my knees so I can until I get a chance to go.
I thought you were just like your body was turning to jello or something.
No.
All right. But so far as like how this movie works is I really liked several elements of it, and I think it's definitely a movie worth seeing for people who have seen all the horror movies seemingly on Netflix. Like there are so many bad one star,
right,
zero star movies. I think this movie, I mean, it's not without flaws, but I think it definitely works enough that it's like it's definitely watchable and enjoyable, and I think it's a good horror movie. It has a nice mystique to it.
Mystique's in it?
Yeah, she's, you know, she, you don't see her
a
lot.
Sleeping during it. So.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Because you're sick? Or because you didn't like
just
it?
Just timing. I just have just the amount of time I'm trying to fit everything into. And I was like, all right, I'll squeeze it in right now. And so trying to watch it on the iPad while, you know, it was dark. And I saw most of it. I know exactly what happened. But
okay.
It didn't interfere with my appreciation of it, but it did interfere with the level which I feel. I don't even want to say positive because I feel positive about it. I just don't.
Yeah.
I guess my feelings, my affinity towards it, it just kind of hurt that. I wish I'd been able to really pay attention to it because I liked what I did see and at the time I did see it, and what I'm pretty sure happened when I didn't see it. I think I liked all that too.
Sound like Donald Rumsfeld. You're like, I know what I don't know, but the things that I don't know that I don't know, I don't know. There are known knowns and known unknowns, but the unknown unknowns are totally unknown. Lona, what did you think about the movie?
It was fine.
Okay. That's really...
That was actually high praise. I
know.
That means it was good.
Given the track record of movies we've watched recently, that's actually probably one of the better ones.
I mean, yes, it was, you know, I liked it better than some of the things that we've watched lately. But I think it's just, it was fine. It kept my attention enough. It entertained me enough. It made me jump enough.
So
like it wasn't something I was like, you know, floored by.
Right. But like,
for Netflix, I was like, all right, that'll do. Like that'll do, pig.
So you didn't find anything like surprisingly good about it or anything like that. It was just like a mainline along your expectations.
Okay, so I think if I'm being fair, I get real testy with films that have Southern accents in them,
mm-hmm.
and it automatically predisposes me to getting my hackles.
There were Southern accents in this?
Yeah, the Satan-y people.
Yeah.
The
third act of the movie.
Like
it was
the country
kind of,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
oh, good,
yeah.
Now we're at the... We're at the point of the film now where, you know, of course Satanists would be Southern because we know the South has, you know, no real religious, you know, Christianity connection whatsoever. Like if you look in the polls that say what are Georgians most concerned about in this election, the number one thing is Christianity. So, you know, this is really the breeding ground for Satanists. So it's just like I was enjoying it and then I just got like, oh, God, we went there. We went there with idiot Southern people. I hate that.
I hate it.
I
disagree because I see like this movie being about I liked the Southern occult vibe. Like I didn't find them just as idiots. Like I didn't see them as sort of bumbling or slow. I saw them as evil and corrupt and satanic. And like I like that. And I think it's different from what we're used to. So I enjoyed that element of it. I thought like having a group of Southern occultists, it's kind of like the Manson family meets, you know, something that is more vaguely
Alabama.
Yeah. So like,
I'm sorry, I stepped away from the mic for a second. I came back and heard Southern idiots and I just assumed we were talking about people who vote for Donald Trump.
Oh, good. Yep. Yeah. And our Super Tuesday reference has been, let's check that off.
Click.
Click. Done and done. We can close that briefcase. Yeah, I don't know, man. I would say that I was surprised by the quality of the setup and the premise. Like I thought that they kind of definitely moved into what it was supposed to be. It didn't linger too much on the setup and exposition. Like it kind of went directly into like, well, she's here trapped alone, and then it moves forward with it. I think that the pacing is kind of off with the movie, but I think that the horror elements were really worth sort of the price of admission, which if you have Netflix, it's ostensibly free.
Why did he make her turn around at the very beginning when she first shows up there?
His wiener was out.
I mean, I just wondered. That was one thing that I still didn't feel I ever got an explanation for or could quite put my finger on either is why did he ask her when she came in? I was like, turn around. And then I didn't say move, just turn around.
I think just asshole new boss mentality. Like he seemed to be like both kind of fucking with her and also an asshole. And
it was a very gentle hazing.
But he was like, he was yelling.
He'd been fighting with something. Yeah. And he was like, he was dealing with something. Yeah.
Huh.
I
don't know.
Just like my dad, you guys.
Really? Maybe that's why you hate it so much.
I was like, oh, look, he's trying to control her just like he tried to control me.
That's why you rebelled against this film. That makes sense. That makes a whole lot of sense.
Began with my daddy and ended with my sisters, and I didn't like it.
That's funny.
Brian, what do you think about the movie overall? We've sort of given our opinions on it. What was your take on Last Shift?
No, I was surprised at how well it was done to not have seen it or really heard anything about it yet. I mean, when it came out on iTunes, I know we had talked about it. I was like, we should get this, but then we never really got around to it.
Well, it just never had a buzz to it.
It's a legitimately decent,
I think,
scary
so too.
Movie. It has the jump scares. It has a mythos behind it, which I think was what wound up like disappointing me at the end.
Yeah,
was that, man, I wish they'd have just followed through with the mythos because that was pretty creepy. It had a good Lord of Illusions kind of, you know, this cult had made up this, you know, had this guy that they were worshiping who was worse than Satan. Remember, Satan was a pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
I really did enjoy it. I was like, man, I wish I'd watched it sooner because it was pretty decent. And from the cover of it, I couldn't tell. I just thought it was an exorcism.
Yeah, totally. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a what got me too is like so obviously it was probably the money they spent was probably on some effects because there were a couple of cool scenes like the Nightmare on Elm Street body on the floor being dragged across the floor and getting up where it was kind of creepy.
And then the masks and the room where they're sitting in a circle and like when they turn them, like I thought that was a really cool effect. Do you remember
talking? I know what you're talking about. Idea that like they set it up as, oh, we're moving to the new location.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the, you know, you need to watch this old thing, which kind of gave them carte blanche to be like, that's why everything is just so bare. I mean, they just basically filmed it in an empty
it's an empty police station,
office
actually.
Space somewhere, which is really kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Police station.
It was a true empty police station?
Mm-hmm. That's what I read.
I like that. I like the premise. I thought it was kind of an interesting, you know what movie it reminds me of favorably, I think, too, is Pontypool. Like, it kind of had a Pontypool vibe to it. And I like that movie a lot. And I think this compares favorably to it. I enjoyed, like, I think that it does too many of the, like, well, here is another phone call. Like, I think there's a lot of that. I think it's
I like that they actually had phones in this one. So many movies don't have phones. Like, they actually had phone service, which was new and different. I did like that.
Yeah, it's like,
I tell you what, one point where the phone is like ringing off the hook towards the end, I wanted to destroy that. It was bugging the shit out of me so much.
Yeah.
And they also, the sound design in this, there was a sound that just kept happening through the whole movie that sounds like what you're like if you had changed the alert tone on your phone, texts or emails, just kind of a silent like bing. Like if you just had a really gentle alert tone, and I kept looking at my phone going, do I have my iPhone set to something else? Or my iPad across the room set to something else? I was like, hey, man, is my iPad, my iMac, my MacBook, are any of them going off?
All these devices that I have?
Maybe it was.
I watched the movie with my headphones on. I don't remember that. So maybe
it's the same. I don't remember either.
Yeah, I don't remember that specifically. I did like the sound design though. I thought that the jump scares were louder than the sort of normal tone of the normal sound of the movie. But I didn't think that they were so loud that that was how they were getting the scare. I thought they were, you know, genuinely kind of frightening and scary in that way. That like with a movie like this, I'm sort of like. It's kind of like training a puppy. I'm like, yeah, you got it. you can do this, but I think this movie is pretty surprisingly good with its scares and with the tension. I don't know, man. I liked it. I think that you could do a lot worse on Netflix. And if, I mean, maybe that's the central discussion here is that the bar that they have to clear is like, is this acceptable? But I thought it was.
I lost you at the very end there. All I heard was the bar is acceptable.
Is that as far as it goes with Netflix? Like, I mean, is that really the bar that we're setting? Is that not most awful. Things are terrible, so this movie's okay. Job. I mean, what do you think?
You did a good job. No, I still get bummed that movies are removed from Netflix. I don't think they should ever be removed. I think that we should always have everything that's always been available.
Well, if you think about Netflix, it's like, what, like $10 a month or whatever. Yeah. So technically, you can say, would I pay 33 cents to watch this movie? Is it a 33 cent movie? Yeah. Okay. Then it, you know, meets the bar. Is it a quarter film? Oh, no. So, I mean, I don't know exactly how you gauge how many cents a film is worth, but that's
there,
exactly
I have never felt like I was being ripped off by Netflix.
Yeah.
It's never been one of those things like, God damn, they're charging me $8 a month for this bullshit.
Yeah.
$9 a month, $10 a month for this? Fuck you. And when the people are like, Netflix is going up $2, okay.
Fine.
That's fine. I get a lot of enjoyment from Netflix. The fact that I watch Always Philadelphia as like a, you know, my that's my brainless show where I turn on just when I want to zone out, that's worth it to me.
Yeah. I think of Netflix kind of like a buffet. Like, you don't have to eat everything that's on the buffet. You just have to find enough that satiates you that you can walk away with the bill and think, all right, fair.
I mean, they've gotten to the point where their original content has taken over so much of what I enjoy on there. I mean, it is though. I mean, there's just so much bad stuff on there.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to what you said. I don't think though that this necessarily shows that there's like this low. I mean, the bar is low to clear to be good on Netflix. Yes, but I think this movie was better than that. I mean, I've seen other ones that I thought were, oh, this is pretty good for Netflix. Whereas I thought this was just, if we had just gotten this earlier and watched it, you know, when it first came out, I think we'd have been like, oh, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not saying it. I think that I might be the highest on this particular movie on the podcast. And yet, like, I think Netflix is a weird place because I also think that independent flicks should get, I mean, they should get their due on Netflix and, you know, they should get a front page viewing or whatever, but it's getting to the point where there's so much out and so much bad stuff out, and I've seen so much stuff that's on Netflix that my experience is being sort of like dragged to a different level because I've seen so much that there's not much else I can explore on there. And I wish there were, like, again, Netflix, they always need a new algorithm, and I feel like we're there again with Netflix. Like, there's so much that I've seen. There's a part of me that thinks, like, there have to be better horror movies on Netflix than what is being put on my page, but that may not be the case. Like, it's just such a weird thing to have to deal with.
A couple of weeks ago, somebody on Reddit released certain secret search codes for Netflix that would show you things. Like, but I tell you what's atrocious is the Apple TV interface for Netflix. It's almost impossible to find anything on there. They have these huge like pictures of their top films, and then at the bottom it's very hard to scroll and find something that I want to watch. Sometimes I get to the point where I go online, pick the films I want to put as like things I want to watch, so I can just scroll through them on my TV.
Roku's isn't much better. That's one thing I've noticed. Is I think the Netflix app for both of them is leaves something to be desired.
Yeah, I think I just in general have problems with Netflix at this point. Like, just as I mean, I just talked about how I will gladly pay the fee, but like my experience, I think that the way that films are brought to me, like and featured, based on what I watch, like, is so weird. How we can find something like this that I'm not really seeing, you know, on my recommendations, and yet it turns out to be something I really enjoy.
Yeah, and meanwhile, all you watched is horror. It should be like one of the top things you come upon. Right. Like, are you? We noticed you liked horror. These are the new releases this
Well, month. But even then, like, the movies that get released are generally low-hanging fruit, or, like, I guess that's not the right analogy, but, like, they're not very good, and it's hard, like, it's, I wish there was just a way for, like, I wish there was a way for Netflix to distinguish between, like, horror movies that you'd want to watch, and horror movies that you will watch if there's literally nothing else for you to watch. Do you know what I mean?
Netflix. Yeah,
well, they kind of do that with that whole... what the potential number of stars that you would give it.
Yeah.
You ever seen that thing? Yeah. Because this was like 3.2 or something. Mm-hmm. But then they'll like recommend something to me that's 1 point something stars. Like, why are you even recommending that to me?
Yeah.
Like, why would you recommend
a movie
you
think
I was... that low?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of...
in the Netflix is becoming, is fast becoming the truck stop $5 DVD slot,
yeah.
You know, slot.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's just, you just, it... sometimes browsing Netflix is like going into the truck stop and just spinning the corral thing just over and over. And like, I don't know, man, do you want to watch Joyride 3 or, you know, The Haunting of Connecticut or whatever? It's like that. That's where we are.
I think we're also running the problem, though, is a lot of the really good stuff that gets on there.
A Ghost of Georgia.
Yeah, which is a weird subtitle. Is we get to the point where weird. We've seen all the good stuff that then is released on there by that point, like Starry Eyes and all this stuff is on there, but we've seen it, and you know it's hard to find the other good stuff, which is why this was nice, because this is that other good thing we had somehow overlooked and missed.
Well,
or whatever.
And I think like the real problem that we're getting into is that there are plenty of good horror movies out there that we haven't seen, or at least interesting horror movies that we haven't seen. It's just that they are not being archived on Netflix. Like, I think that even like Shudder, the independent service would, or I guess not independent, but like the horror only service would do justice to like really curate an interesting set of movies. And like, I still see a lot of the same stuff on Shudder that I see on Netflix. Like, or, you know, if they had like an entire section devoted to like 70s Italian horror or whatever, like I would love to see more stuff like that. And I don't know if it's just that the rights are hard to get for those or they're not worth it, but like I would want to see more like that, or the stacks and stacks of Japanese horror movies that I have not seen. Right. Like that's the kind of stuff that I feel like if you're gonna sort of like curtail your service to horror fans, find that stuff that's not easy to find. Find the stuff that's not just like, oh well, everybody else has this is fine, you know. Like, I mean, The Last Winter is on Shudder. That's a good example of something that, you know, is not widely available everywhere, that I feel like with horror services, we're getting that. I mean, I hate that we're doing this to this movie because it doesn't deserve it. Like, but I guess this is just where it comes up. But I thought Last Shift was a fine movie, and I really liked it. I just want to see more like this, I think, on Netflix.
Or just in general, I guess. That's still
right,
the thing.
Yeah.
I want to see more better movies. Not the big stuff, not the stuff that necessarily gets to theaters that I don't really like. The things we've seen, like The Forest and The Boy, although I didn't hate The Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
But things like this that I think I do genuinely like.
Yeah.
And I guess I just want to see more of that. And that's the thing. We are seeing more of it with independent horror, but we're still missing out on, even then, we're missing out on the ones that are not the big ones that we hear about still.
And you know, even boilerplate horror, like I mean, this movie works in part because it sticks to a pretty interesting formula and does it well. Like, it does some pretty surprising things, but it doesn't go off the railing at any point, and it doesn't go up its own ass. Like, it just kind of is a good movie that remains a good movie throughout, and it's pretty solid. Like, I think the third act, I think Brian said that he was disappointed by the third act, and that's almost always true in a horror movie, but I dug this one all the way to the end.
I just didn't like what it became for her. Like, it was, it became like
monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, basically carbon monoxide poisoning.
Ostensibly, yeah. I mean, I wish we had talked more. You know, and we still have some time, but I wish we had talked more about sort of the interesting plot points of it. Like, I enjoyed the way that they played with reality. It wasn't. So many horror movies go so far down the rabbit hole of, like, is this real or is it not, that it's, like, eye-rolling. But I feel like this movie does some pretty interesting things that fuck with reality. Because it almost has kind of a Silence of the Lambs vibe. Because there's, you know, her father is enveloped in all of this. And then you have the cop who walks around. Like, he talks to her a few times. And then you see at one point he turns around and there's a giant... Mm-hmm. bloody hole in the back of his head, and then at one point he puts
six steps.
yeah, I love it. And then there's a scene later where he puts, like, he uses his fingers as a gun, and it has the effect of blowing his brains out. I thought those were really, like, the movie, while, you know, sort of stagnant at parts, I think does some really interesting things with what it has. And I, like, I have to give it a lot of credit for that. And especially that kind of stuff.
I would have liked more of the, you know, for lack of a better description, Manson family stuff. Mm-hmm. I wish they'd concentrate more on these cult and his followers over her, the emergency that she was having to, you know, it concentrated a lot on the emergency that wound up not being a real thing. But I think they should have, I wish they would have spent some more time really delving into how crazy these people were and how dangerous they were. I just didn't feel like we got enough of that.
Agreed. I think so. Like, I think that what they assumed was that we would catch on to it through those phone calls, because those ostensibly became the same thing toward the end. Like, they melded into basically the same plot point. But I think they wanted us to assume that, but you don't get enough from it. Like, I think if we'd gotten more breadcrumbs throughout about that it would have totally worked for us, but it didn't. Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, sorry,
Brian. Did they ever really connect prostitute with anything?
No. That's another thing I wanted to talk about was, like, did you guys get a sense of what the prostitute, like, was that a plot? Was that, like, something they just cut?
Like, you don't cut a lot in a movie like this. I mean, there's not that much that they have to cut. But I don't know.
I can guarantee you that.
Wasn't she just there to tell the story of how she saw what had happened to her, the girl's dad?
Yeah, but there's a lot going on there, though, because she had, like, a bruise under her eye, and there's...
And she hums the song at the end.
She does hum the song.
Yeah.
Also, prostitutes don't normally hang around police stations.
Right. Was she a prostitute? I don't know.
I mean, not a police station anymore.
I assume she was a prostitute. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Judging her on the way she was dressed.
Yeah, the way she was dressed, you know, a woman alone at night,
smoking
a by a
cigarette.
Man.
Lady of the evening.
The lady of the evening, also, she had glass heels.
You don't know
so
that.
Cinderella. Okay.
Prostitute. True. You missed that part of
Cinderella,
that story.
Those were probably plastic.
You know what? Now it makes sense. Her stepmom sent her out to
a pimp.
Yeah, there you go. To get money for the family, put her, dressed her all up, and said, "Now you go bring home your prince, girl."
Why is it saucy?
I don't know. I just imagine her, like, saying that, like, "Now you go, you bring your stepmom and her other daughter some money."
So really, the song.
Why are they from New Orleans?
So really, the song "Fancy" is about Cinderella, is what you're saying.
There you go.
Yeah. I think
she really is just. She's just. The character who was the character in Wayne's World is she the Chris Farley character? Like, boy, that security guard had a lot of very specific information.
She's just exposition.
Yeah, she's just the expository force in this film. Like, she's just there to show up, dump a bunch of information into the movie, and fucking disappear.
Exposition with boobs.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, it's really weird. I expected it to tie back too, but it totally didn't. And I wanted to see if you guys caught something that maybe I didn't in the movie, because I paid quite a bit of attention to this film. And
as
and
soon
didn't
as that,
she spent the rest of the film walking around making a weird little text message noise that only Brian.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was crawling. That's it. You can. There was an entire B plot that was just her crawling around in the air vents, just humming the song and making the text noise to draw off the bead.
Damn it!
Yeah, there you go, Brian. Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, that stuff works. I really loved when they did go into the Manson family stuff, like them wearing, like, the pillowcases on their heads, or whatever that was. I thought that was all really done and pretty creepy. And
that was real Clive Barkery stuff there.
Yeah,
totally. The pillows and the mouths and all.
And I think,
you know, speaking of Clive Barker, I did actually reread Hellbound Heart, and I was like, man, Hellraiser really did a good job translating the Hellbound Heart into a film.
Yeah, I think it's better than the book. But I mean, yeah, I think this movie, like, it does a good job of, like, slowly pulling this character down into madness without making it too overt. Like, I feel like it could have been cringeworthy at points, but totally wasn't. I thought that it did a good job of, like, sort of dragging her down this, to the point where at the end when she shoots the guy, who's supposed to be the cleanup crew. Like, I think they set up, I think they set that up well, that that's early but forgettable, and then you kind of forget about it, and then they have the call that reminds you, but it's still not a big plot point. Like, oh, we'll be there anywhere between, it's very specific information. Like, the sheriff or whatever is like, oh, they'll be here between 10 and 4, and then they call and they're like, oh, it'll be closer to 4, and then when he shows up and she shoots him, it's like, and it flashes because she thinks she's shooting somebody at that point, but
she thinks she's shooting other cult members coming in to get his body.
That's right. That's right. And but
clothes.
I thought that was a pretty kick-ass scene. I wish that was a longer scene. Like, I wish there was more of that. Like, more of the sort of assault on Precinct 13 assault. To carry everything through. I thought that was really well done. And even though I realized it wasn't real, that at that point, like, yeah, she's hallucinating, or, you know, whatever. She's in the nether realm of the Manson family clan. That I wanted more of it, despite the fact that it was totally nonsense.
One thing I thought was interesting is I feel like we're supposed to want to say it has a John Carpenter thing to it because it's an abandoned police station, but I feel like that's the only thing that I got from it. Like, I never felt anything about the way it was shot or put together or, you know, music or anything that made me think about John Carpenter in comparison to it as I have in so many of our other movies. Like, I just felt like it was a found footage movie that was shot not found footage. Like so much of how everything was shot with, you know, with the way we're seeing things inside the police station, it was a lot of POV of her anyway inside the police station. I'm just shocked that it wasn't a found footage movie, and I wonder if it was maybe meant to be at one point because it really felt found footage.
Thank you for not making it a found footage movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they thought it at one point, but I think it. I don't know how you would think that movie would be. Like, if you're making this movie, like, how do you make the woman, like, I'm a cop and I'm going to walk around with a camera?
Exactly.
Like, would have been like security cameras?
That's exactly.
Oh, man, no way. That's such a terrible idea.
Yeah, she would do it like that. She's like, hey, first day on the job, and I have to watch this creepy-ass police station. What a, you know, everyone's dream job, which I wrote down, my dream job would be just to sit around all night not doing anything.
I mean, I also don't think that's the character either. Like, she's not the kind of person. Like, I think that, you know, I don't think she's a terribly well-developed character, but I think she's developed enough that that's not who she is. Like, she's not like, yeah, selfie in front of all this fucking bloody stuff. Like, I don't think that's her character.
Look at these bathrooms, diarrhea. Am I right, guys?
gag face, duck face in front of the diarrhea toilet. But yeah, like, I don't think that's, I also don't think that's that character is.
I can't wait.
Lona, can you start over? Sorry, I think it cut out on you.
Just talking about, I can't wait until an entire movie is done through Snapchat.
Yeah.
So it's only 7-second increments with little notes. OMG, dead. And then the person is just getting eaten behind, like, some girl's shoulder.
It's going to be unfriended, too.
I may do that. I may make.
Eventually that has
I won't
to happen.
Have over.
Unfriended 2 snaps.
Yeah, I think that movie.
And then
it
should have the two guys from In Living Color and be like, two snaps down at the very end.
Brian, Jesus Christ. Man, that reference.
No one like, you've got to be 40 to get that.
Yeah.
Not my target demographic.
Congratulations.
My Snapchat movie is not going to have a 40-plus target demographic.
You want to have Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer in it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you lost my ticket.
I think the comparisons to Carpenter...
matinee.
I think the comparisons to Carpenter are pretty much limited to the setup and not necessarily in how the movie plays out. Although I think the ending is fairly Carpenter-esque. If only they had sort of made it a bigger production. So I think, like, that is where it is. Like, just in the setup, just in the mood. Like, I felt the mood was there, not the music. Like, none of that was Carpenter-esque, but I felt like I got that sense from just the overall mood of the movie. The sort of, like, the sense of, not ennui, that's not what I'm looking for, but, like, isolation that's there, and the sense, like, I mean, calling people who will not answer, who answer the phone but tell you you're ostensibly crazy. Like, I think that all works. But yeah, the music isn't there, and The way that it's shot is definitely not a overly Carpenter-ian. Carpenter-ian.
Speaking of Carpenter, you guys are familiar with the reaction figures, right? The very basic 80s-looking figures you see all over the place. A company whose name I can't remember right now, but designed the reaction figure style of the Fog. And all it is like some blue cotton in a, mm-hmm. in a little bubble pack. And it says, all it says is some Fog.
Yeah, yes, totally.
The John Carpenter film, I've seen The Fog, that. Is just some Fog.
Yeah, no.
It was sold. Like, you could buy them. It was a limited run.
Totally. Part of me was like, I want to buy one of those. But part of me was like, this is...
I did too. And then as soon as I realized it was real, they were sold out.
Yeah. Well... I mean, we can go into to overall impressions. I mean, what would you guys recommend? Last Shift? I keep wanting to call Late Shift 2. Late Shift also, not Late Shift 2, but I want Last Shift. I mean, would you?
O'Brien.
I think it's.
Jimmy Kimmel Wars.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it's kind of like Pontypool meets Assault on Precinct 13. You know, in the setup. So I enjoyed it. Like, I think it's far better than plenty of horror movies that I've seen on Netflix recently. So I would say, yeah, definitely jump on that one.
You know what movie was? I mean, Pontypool, after reading Snow Crash, I thought to myself, I was like, man, the people who wrote Pontypool really must have liked Snow Crash, with this whole language being a virus that infects people and influences the way they react to certain things. Anyway, I would say if you have Netflix, and you like horror, watch this film. I mean, it's a good horror film.
Agreed. Yeah. I agree.
If
I'd have rented this on iTunes for $5.99, $6.99, I would have been like, all right, I'm not upset by this.
Yeah, totally. Drew, what were you saying?
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say it's one of the better, movies that I've run into on there in a while. That's not something that I really knew of beforehand. I mean, I think it's really good as well. I think it's one that will be talked about in conversations in the next few years as we continue talking about genre. Not as one of the best, but as one of those. Oh, you should see Late Shift.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Last Shift.
Last Shift.
If you haven't seen Last Shift, you should. Like, I think that will be the overall summit. Not necessarily like, oh man, that movie's so amazing, but like, oh man, if you haven't seen it, you should see it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's a good enough distinction for this flick that should carry it through. Like, I think I don't think the cover does the film any justice. Like, I think it makes it look really bad, but it's not. Like, looking at the cover last night when we started, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be.
Why not use the pillow face people?
Yeah. Or like much even creepier. The cop. Like, you could, I mean, if I were making the cover, I would make it like a 90s.
Oh.
Gun
upside her face, yeah, kind of. And like.
Yeah, gun upside her face with like maybe the silhouette of a thing behind it. Yeah. Also,
her first shift could be her last.
Yeah. Like, I would make it into like a 90s cop movie, like Striking Distance, you know. The other thing we went this whole podcast without talking about was the dude who pissed himself. Do you guys remember that?
You mean the homeless man from Hellraiser?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know why we didn't talk about that, because that's noteworthy. Do what, Brian? Hey, you're breaking up.
He was in.
You're totally breaking up. It's just mumbled syllables at this point.
He was in the whole. He was throughout the whole movie, but he really wasn't explained as to why he was there.
Yeah, I think, was he not part of the family? The Saw's family.
We know he's there, I guess, by the end of it, because he, or do we? I mean, that's another question. Is he actually there?
I don't know.
I thought
he was a part of the family. Like, that's entirely where I got that from. I was like, oh, he's obviously part of the family.
Before starting this podcast, Lona said it was probably the best film she'd seen this year.
That's not what I said.
I'm pretty sure.
No, I didn't.
I got this. Lona said it was the... I got this. I'll take care of this.
Yeah, you think you do.
But yeah, overall, I would say watch it. I think it's a good movie. It's definitely one that I think will fly under a lot of people's radar. But I think it's one that overall people who like horror should see it, especially if they're like me and are constantly looking for something that's not one star or half a star on Netflix to deliver.
You might even give it 3.2 stars.
Yeah, I might give it 3.2. I might give it 3.3. I don't know. Depends on how I feel.
I'm giving it 3.6.
Don't go crazy.
I really wish Netflix would install a half-star system, too. Like, that's, at this point. So you could say, like, 3.5 or 2.5.
Yeah. Hey, guys, before we round this out for the night, I just want to say, if you are in the Southeast, please come to the Chattanooga Film Festival, March 31st through April 3rd.
We'll be also, having a, go ahead.
Good time.
Yeah, also, if you read books, I wrote a book, as long as we're doing plugs. So look for The Devil Came Calling. Yeah, buy my book, as long as we're doing plugs. Doug's plugs.
Or and you know, if you can't buy the book, you can always come to the film festival.
Yeah, or buy the book and bring it to the film festival. Or, Brian, you should let me bring the book to the film festival and sell it. Business.
I don't care.
Yes.
I thought you were going to tell him to buy the book. And not come to the film festival.
Yeah, so yeah. You can do any of those combinations of things.
If you come, I tell you what. If you come to the film festival with a copy of Tyler's book, I'll get you into a movie for free.
There you go. Booyah, business. But also, there will be copies
right.
there.
But I'll also take the book and pee on it. I'm just kidding. I won't do that.
Fair. Fair.
No, that won't be.
I'll spoil.
Hey guys, I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
And I don't hear Lona.
I'm Lona.
There we go. Listening. Hey, you're a person who's on the podcast. I guess we'll see you guys next week.
I think we have a problem with the audio tonight. It is way off.
Yeah. Lona. God damn
it.
Yes,
it's my fault.
Of course it's your fault.
Goddamn women. Goddamn women fucking up the audio.
All right, we'll see y'all next time on the whole podcast.